Winston City Council, January 19th, 7 p.m.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Roll call. Counselor White?
Here.
Counselor Cunningham?
Here.
How do you pronounce your name?
Harris.
Harris?
Yep.
Counselor Harris?
Here.
And I'm here. Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Bauer?
None, Your Honor.
I have one.
I've got you down here.
Okay, as economic development was not put on the program. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Public hearing regarding the sale of 410 square feet of city-owned property located in front of City Hall adjacent to State Route 42, rights of way on the corner of SR 42 and Glenmont Avenue for the use as rights of way. Mr. Bauer, please.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council, and members of the audience. I will first read the resolution by title only. Resolution number 21-980, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to sign a purchase and sale agreement for the purchase of 410 square feet of city-owned property for $1,450. And I will brief. The reason for the sale is that we were contacted by the Oregon Department of Transportation prior to them commencing on their curb return replacement program on SR 42. So in the past couple months, they've had crews out here replacing the curb returns with proper ADA required curb ramps. So in order for them to facilitate the curb ramp on the corner out here in front of City Hall, they require the purchase of 410 square feet along Glenhart and SR 42. So that's the reason that the property is up for consideration of sale. ODOT Property Division has already appraised the property and put the offer together in a purchase and sale agreement at $1,450. The city did provide the required 5-day public notice of the public hearing for tonight, scheduled for tonight in the news review. So we have met our requirements under state law.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. I'd like to open a public hearing in regards to this issue. Anybody from the audience like to speak? Council, any questions?
Since they bought it, then they'd be obligated to maintain it.
Yes, it would become part of the right-of-way owned by the state and would be under their maintenance.
Is there a proposal for the price, a fair price?
I do believe that the price is a fair offer.
I believe we asked last city council meeting that it actually helped the right-of-way, the turning radius and everything for that. Right?
That's correct. It does open that turning radius up, keeps them from their rear tires of large trucks from running up on our property.
Which gives more access for ADA.
Right.
So now they'll be running up on the state's property.
That's right. They can replace it their dime.
Okay. Anything else for the public hearing? We're going to close the public hearing at this time. Consent agenda, approval of council minutes for January 4th of 2021. Have a motion, please.
I make a motion to approve the minutes for January
4th. Motion's been made. Seconds?
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor of having the motion?
No.
Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Okay, we have appointments and reappointments for various boards, commissions, and committees. Jack Holland has been recommended for the Park Board. Edie Young has been recommended for the Park Board. Mr. Bauer, do we do these all at once, or can I just do them one at a time?
Your pleasure, Your Honor. You can do them all at once or individually.
Renee Morgan for the Planning Commission. Ellen Hobson has requested to be on the Urban Renewal Advisory Committee, as have David Carton. Any questions about these appointees? Motion to approve them?
Make a motion, we approve them.
I second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and addresses for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Anybody wishing to speak?
I'll mute the phones in case they do hear. Okay.
Anyone wishing to speak? Okay. Mr. Cunningham, let me give you the opportunity right now to do your economic development.
Very good. Thank you. We met on the 13th of January at 12 o'clock. And the discussion was concerning the co-op asking for grants this cycle, which will be under the URA purview. And then plans are approved of going in the spring for an RV dump that will be added. The city has $250,000 of repaving the police department parking lot. Knife River received a bid. Elephant Walk dug up old gas tanks that they said they're never there. And we'll do the cleanup. Liquor store is expanding. Creative Canyon is closing down. A wildlife safari is down this season, but year on year they're way above the 309,000 visitors. By the way, that was just counting the tickets sold. That was not counting special events or anything else that they had. So that is significant. The branding for Wander Winston was approved. Napa has sold out, but not part of the urban growth, so they cannot get grant funding. RV Park has a new owner that wants to develop RV parks. This is directly across from Abraham, where the DC co-op is going. And they were going to meet this week, or they have met, and you'll probably discuss that later. The community center is open for everything but the senior center. Fields will continue to operate. And the VIC, Information Center, is open, but a hard time to get volunteers due to COVID. So if you know anybody, by the way, that would like to volunteer there, they would have the privilege of being near Mark. anyway, that is about it for the economic development.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for Councilor Cunningham on economic development? Department reports. Chief Sardi, anything to add?
Give a couple of little updates on a couple things. Council Mayor, community members, a couple things that I just wanted to talk about. I got information today on talking with the sheriff that our jail is going to be pretty much, they're going to try to get it back up and running and open. He was willing to come in and talk to all the counselors at all the different cities if there's any questions or concerns. But it sounds like they're going to try to move the jail to where they're going to start taking people again, which is a plus because I'm tired of sighting the least people trying to walk the streets. We got a canine, or a buster, canine. He got recertified, so he's certified through the state and then we're going to also have him certified by the California certification. It's something with canines they do. They do a California and Oregon certification, so he'll be good for another year. So that was exciting. We did start our ORPAD, our training, physical ability training for new recruits, for reserves and cadets. So we're in the process of that to pick up a couple more and try to get ready by summer. And then my plan is probably in the next month or so, when the COVID stuff hopefully starts dropping off, we're going to pick up our chaplains. So I'll pick up Steve Schenowork and Jerry Smart as our chaplains. So they'll be uniform chaplains for us. They'll be able to work around the state, represent the city of Winston. So it'll be kind of nice. I believe that is it. We're still working on our EIS system, trying to get things up and running with our computers. There's some process stuff that we're doing with IT on that. But other than that, we're just running the status quo. So I told the guys to pick it up, and they have been. Which I'm pretty excited about.
Just one quick question. Sure. You mentioned that the jail was closed, but they're still taking capital offenses.
Yeah, it was never really closed. It was, they shut it down for cases that are required by lodging. So the domestic assaults, some felony warrants, but some of the stuff, and it was a little irritating because we would have to go up there and get their permission to lodge them, and it was never like that before, and so they're trying to transition back to.
So technically they're not closed.
Yeah, they were never, in a sense, really closed. Yeah, I mean, we were able to take some major crimes, you know, they would take them, but.
Okay.
But, you know, your warrants, we'd be site released, or petty theft, they'd site release, harassments, basic prison crimes, they'd site release on. So we just site release them in the field. It's driving us a little crazy. So.
I got two for you, Brandon.
Yes.
You said last city council that the radios are working better.
Mm-hmm.
That's great to hear.
Yep.
Still same?
Yeah, so far, you know, a little bit in the school, we're having some issues, but I don't know that that's going to change. It's
okay.
One-way directional, so. But the dispatch can hear us, so we're doing better there.
Perfect.
I mean, our goal, I think, I'm glad we waited to get that up and running, because then our next step is going to be upgrading our radios when we start purchasing vehicles.
Okay.
If I can get some portables, maybe we'll work on that, but
perfect.
That's the plan.
And my second question is, with the updated law out of Oregon, how does the dogs work now with...
Okay, so you mean with the drug laws that are coming into play?
Yeah.
It's still the unknown. I've been keeping an eye on our Oregon Chiefs of Police website, kind of get an update on seeing what's happening, how it's going to roll out. Everyone says it's a status quo. There is a trooper over in the Bend area that has really updated the case law. He's a canine trooper, and he's going to put on a presentation for us in the Douglas County area and kind of talk about it. So right now, we're just kind of doing the same, same gig, but it's changing.
Okay.
So. You know, it's not going to be good,
right.
I will tell you that,
right.
So there's nothing good about it when it's, you know, a bigger fine to get a seatbelt ticket than it is have a bit of dope in your pocket. Drives me a little crazy, so.
It drives us all crazy.
You know, it's just not right, so, but I can go on a tangent on that.
Right. Yeah.
You already have.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Anything else?
I was just curious.
Well, thank you, Chief. I'm glad to hear the dog is still an option.
Yep.
Thank
yep.
You.
All right.
Hey, Dr. Ham, can I have a question for the Chief?
Certainly.
Yes.
Who's speaking, please?
This is Alan Hobson.
Hi.
Yes, Alan.
How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Just fine. Thanks. Miss you.
Yeah, Chief, have you got any idea when you and your first line people can get vaccinated?
Okay, so I have been vaccinated, at least on the first shot. What's interesting is almost all the agencies, police and fire, it's about a 50-50 split of people that want to be vaccinated. So I have, I think, about six of us at the PD that have been vaccinated, and the other bunch chose not to do it. So we're going to wait for the second dose to come out and see if we're going to get it. But I don't know how that's going to work out. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that at least the ones that want to be vaccinated have been vaccinated. That's good.
Yeah. Douglas County Fire District 2 is the one that called us. Able to get us in. So.
Thank you.
If I may, I'd also like to say that because there was such a short number of police and fire members that got vaccinated, they freed up additional vaccine I was vaccinated. I got my first shot as well, as did all the other city managers through the process. So.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks,
Brandon. Thank you, Chief. Mr. Bauer, anything to add?
Yes, Your Honor, members of council and members of the audience. Councillor Cunningham brought this up a little bit earlier, but we met last week for about 3 hours with the new owner of the RV property over off of Abraham. We could tell that the gentleman had definitely done his homework. He had asked what appeared to be, to me, all the right questions that I would be asking if I was looking at purchasing that property. He also understood all the issues with the flood plain and the floodway that impact that property. He had evidently gotten a very detailed briefing from the owner that had run the project through the conditional use. He also understood state law in regards to time of stay. That's going to be, you know, that's part of the issue with that is that, as we now know, local jurisdictions do not have that, the ability to limit that stay. However, he will be limiting a portion of the park to short-term stays. He definitely wants those. He will be limiting the age of the vehicles in the park. He will be screening that park to the best of his ability, both vegetatively and fence-wise. He will be bringing in street lights, low-level street lights, that will include watering capability as well as electrical connections on them for Christmas decorating or watering baskets in the summertime. So, but the last hour I left him with Mariah to go through a lot of the specific planning details like widths of sidewalks and those types of things. But his position is he wants to build the best RV park in Oregon. So time will tell if that happens.
And hopefully it'll all be in writing.
And yeah, one of the things that you know, we've got the best we've got right now with our conditional use permit that conditions that park. So we'll see how it goes with him, and we'll see if he even moves forward with it. You know, you have this happen, and then something happens, and the whole deal implodes, and nothing happens. So at this point in time, we have someone who's extremely interested in it. We don't know for sure if it's going to happen or
not. How big is that property, Mark?
12 acres, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Or is it 12 or 19? I think it's 19.
Is there any interface needed with the Planning Commission?
Not at this point. It's fully permitted under the conditional use permit.
And isn't he going to bring the land up to the floodplain part of it?
He has to for any of the permanent structures. He plans a pool and clubhouse. Of course, the shower buildings will all have to be up. There will be multiple location of showers. And the laundry facility will have to be located above the floodplain. The majority of the street system will have to be.
So they'll have to bring in 5 or 6 feet.
So
to come out of the floodplain.
Basically, he will be building it to bring in as little as possible because he also knows that if he in any way redistributes flood water, that's problematic for him. So. Yeah, he knows all of those issues, and so once he goes to detailed engineering, we'll determine what he can and can't do. But the all of the sewer system has to have backflow prevention on it to stop floodwaters from entering our sewer system. The water system has to all be backflow prevented for same reasons. Electrical connections have to be waterproofed. So there's a lot of expense involved in this type of construction. That's why I say we'll never know until it gets through more detailed engineering.
And also, too, maybe he probably has not mentioned it, but is he planning, or do you have any idea that he may interface with the community that is around there? Because there were concerns from the community in that section there. And it might be a good idea if he has some type of dialogue or something with the people in that area.
He plans to become a part of that neighborhood. He plans to be building a house on the site for he and his wife to live in and manage the park. He also is interested in providing a trail system from the park across underneath the highway bridge over to the boat landing, so people can walk back and forth between the boat landing and the park. And also, he is aware that there is camping operations from time to time under that bridge, and he will be ensuring that that is cleaned up under his ownership.
Good. Really good.
So, the other thing I wanted to, first I wanted to make an introduction. We've got Megan Hamilton, our Public Works foreman in the audience tonight, for anyone who doesn't know her. You don't often find a public works foreman as a female, but Megan is entirely capable of doing anything that needs to be done in that department. And it's great to have her in that position. She's a great leader as well. So then lastly, we had our first county city managers meeting. Unfortunately, it only consisted of myself, Myrtle Creek, Sutherland, and Roseburg. But we talked about a number of things that are important to all four of the cities. And one of them is the dispatching issue and the radio system more specifically. And taking to or sitting down with the commissioners to help us all fully understand the long-term management of that system and what needs to be done to keep that system up and running for the long term. So that was one of the elements that we spoke about. We also spoke about the sobering center, which affects all of us as well. And a number of other topics. So the rest of it was in my weekly report.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bauer?
This is Terry Fink at 1100 Abraham Avenue. How's everybody?
Fine, how are you?
I am splendid, thank you for asking. I was just wondering with respect to the RV park. I know it's not, it doesn't sound like it's a done deal yet, but if there are going to be any changes made with the restrictions or on the permit, will there be a public hearing for the Planning Commission for City Council?
The only thing, yes, thank you, Your Honor. The only thing that would require it would be something that would be a substantial change to the conditions that are already been placed on it through the conditional use permit process. So until he gets farther along in his engineering development of the site, we won't know that he's going to offer anything at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a stranger in the crowd tonight, Mr. Sherlock.
Good evening. I don't really have anything prepared, but I can touch on.
Once you're smiling.
I know. The admin addition should be finishing up this week or late next week. We can go over those change orders later. And then our generator one replacement, generator is on site. Crane is showing up Thursday to pick it into place. And we'll have electricians there Friday and Monday to wire it up.
Cool.
Cummins is scheduled Tuesday to start it up. So
make sure it goes.
Make sure it runs.
Good.
Yeah.
Good news.
How's your new luncheon coming along?
It's coming. Slowly, slowly but surely.
Do you have an 18th estimated time that'll be finished?
Next week, hopefully.
Well, that's coming along pretty well then.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just doing punch list items right now.
Okay.
Any questions on any of the weeklies or?
No. Just glad you're here. Thank you. New business licenses.
Old business, Your Honor.
Old business, I'm sorry, I apologize. Application submission deadline for the Ward 2 vacancy had to be extended to Friday the 29th. We had two applicants and we were hoping to get a few extras to kind of thicken the race a little bit. So we will refer back to that on the 29th. Also at that time, I think I want to try to, for the first meeting in February, try to make council changes that people are going to want to pick what boards and commissions they want to help be the liaison with. So if you folks would please think about those items, we can at least start that process. If you have any questions, you can call me.
Now, that would be, of course, after the new
right version
is sworn in.
Right. I just want to start thinking along those lines. Okay. New business licenses. Alala On-Site Services, Kimberly Pippen, and the Spicy Thai. From Cut Bird. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Chief, you got all the approval on these folks?
Yes, sir.
Looking for a motion to approve these new business licenses?
I make a motion to approve the licenses.
A second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Bauer, can we talk about scheduling a workshop with the Planning Commission?
Yes, Your Honor. At your pleasure. We would anticipate a date that is not, does not coincide with a council meeting.
I agree.
So, other than that, I would, like to see it set, no sooner than, 2 weeks so that they can prepare an agenda for the meeting.
Okay.
Do we have an idea how long this meeting may last?
We don't. I can tell you that the principal subject is dealing with city property, specifically the Nichols property, in looking at the zoning on that property, and is it in line with what both the Nichols would like to see as well as the city. So we plan to engage Mo Nichols to have a conversation with her prior to the meeting, and then she would also be present. We would hope her and maybe some of the other family members that are involved would be present at the meeting to discuss what they would like to see done.
And what is the precipitous on this? In other words, what generates this? Did they generate it or did we do it?
No, this is something out of the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission has wanted to look at extending our urban growth boundary, but until there's a plan and movement on fully utilizing all existing city property, that there's not much hope in moving forward with any increase in our urban growth boundary. So it's trying to develop a plan to get full utilization out of existing underutilized city property.
Well, what would be the impact on the Nichols?
They own the largest single piece of property in, or properties in the city that constitute lack of any development plan.
I would also like to maybe see if we could hold that meeting at the community center. It sounds like there could be a few extra people.
Certainly.
Any suggestions on a date? From anybody? They go the second Monday of February, perhaps?
Not, yeah, second Monday.
What time are you thinking?
I think that that's probably a good date to set tentatively, and then once we have a conversation with Ms. Nichols, we can set that as solid.
The 6 o'clock,
that would be better than in the afternoon
when
something else is going
to go. Yeah, no, I think we need to do it in the evening. Okay. Any other concerns? Does that work for you, Cindy?
Second Monday.
Second Monday is going to be February
8th. Okay. Perfect. So we'll make that so then. Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Cindy? Motion to amend bank signature cards?
Yes, Your Honor. We need to amend our bank cards to remove Mayor Hayes and to add Mayor Rutter to the signature card. So the signatures are myself, Ann Munson, our finance director, and the mayor.
Okay. I should recuse myself from that vote.
Yeah, you don't need a vote. Oh, yeah, you do need a vote. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I make a motion that we amend the cards as needed.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Resolution 21979, amending resolution 21978, surplus of city-owned property. Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Your Honor. Resolution 21979, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon, City Council, amending Resolution 21978, adding a new Section 1 and renumbering the following paragraphs. So at your last meeting, Resolution 21978 was the surplus resolution of the property. However, in the action section of the resolution, there was not a section declaring as surplus the city-owned property as the heading called for. I believe there was a clear understanding on council's part that it was a surplusing resolution. So what Resolution 21979 does is clean it up and just adds that language to the resolution.
So that's the title only and the staff report then?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Comments from the audience? You have 3 minutes to speak on this issue. Council, any questions for Mr. Bauer?
This is at 410 square feet.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot of work for 410 square feet.
No kidding.
Think how many trees we've killed doing this. Okay, Council Ash, I need a motion, please.
I make a motion that Resolution 21-971 be adopted as
979,
as read, as read.
Have a motion?
I second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Okay. And now, Resolution 21980, authorizing the city manager to sign a purchase and sale agreement for the purchase of 410 square feet of city-owned property. Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council, and members of the audience. Resolution number 21-980, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to sign a purchase and sale agreement for the purchase of 410 square feet of city-owned property for $1,450. And again, I read my staff report at the beginning of the public hearing. Glad to answer any additional questions.
Comments from the audience? Council, any questions for Mr. Bauer? You're looking for a motion for resolution 21-980.
I make a motion that we approve 21-980.
I have a motion to approve. Do you second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 21-981. To declaring Public Works Generator as a surplus item. Mr. Bauer?
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council, members of the audience. Resolution number 21-981. A resolution, the City of Winston, Oregon, City Council authorizing the surplus of a Public Works portable standby generator. And Mr. Howell will brief.
Your Honor, members of the council, members of the audience, good evening. The 65 kW paved generator is no longer needed for the emergency backup power source for our two pump stations, Looking Glass and Snow. The generator has been replaced with the new 56 kW generator from PD. Thank you again, Brandon.
You're welcome.
That worked out nice. We have the 100 kW on site, fuel fired, natural gas. Staff recommends council to surplus that, the 1990 paved AC genset. We expect it was $800 to $1,200 item. I don't. It runs right now, so it's worth more now, of course. But it's one of those things. So that's my staff report.
Just a quick question. Could the police department use?
Not at all. Not at all. We'll pay dark people to use it.
That offer had been tendered.
We're hoping to put in for a sweeper next week.
There's a little bit of an attitude there. Any more questions on resolution 21-981? Comments from the audience? Okay, you need a motion.
I make a motion that we sell this generator, 21-981.
I have a motion for a second.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Andy. Stay right there. Resolution 21-982, declaring dishes, glassware, flatware, and miscellaneous serving equipment at the community center as surplus. Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council, and members of the audience. Resolution number 21-982, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council declaring miscellaneous dishes, glassware, flatware, and serving equipment as surplus equipment. And again, Mr. Howell will brief.
Andy.
Your Honor, council, members of the audience again. So staff has inventoried the place settings and the catering items that have been stored in the computer lab and the data room at the community center. The grand max, when we're doing full mill, is 200 people within the grand room. So it's kind of just puts the numbers for perspective. The first ones are the catering items. They're four bus tubs, 10 oval serving platters, six rectangular tubs, 11 utensil tubs, three coffee water dispensers, six chafing dishes. There's no fuel holders for them, just the dishes. 12 large plastic nesting serving bowls, five metal nesting serving bowls, 22 coffee carafes with the tin lids, so we're kind of a mixed bag of stuff. I'll kind of go over the place settings. It was kind of, anyway, interesting going through this interesting pile of stuff up there. But anyway, we have 518 dinner plates, 1,602 salad dessert plates, 550 water glasses, 428 wine glasses, 594 coffee cups, 556 coffee cup saucers, 255 monkey dish 662 soup bowls, 210 steak knives, 200 butter knives, 400 forks, 200 spoons, 200 soup spoons. The catering item is stored and not used for several years. Staff does recommend that we surplus the catering items. Staff is requesting from council options regarding the place settings. The council want to keep all the place settings, maintaining 250 or whatever number of place settings, or surplus all place settings. Expected return is not known at this time.
How many people do you have normally, or have they had? I hate to see you get rid of all the place settings. I don't know. I know you're a caterer, but I just can't see caterers bringing in all their own plates.
That's what they do.
They actually do. They don't have any. What about the seniors? You take all that away, would they have anything?
The seniors?
What about the coffee machines? Yeah. And do we have, I have a question, do we have a dishwasher there?
I do have a question, because we have budget committee there and some other things, so do we use that, like, for the coffee makers and stuff when we attend those meetings?
Any of the city-sponsored events, yeah.
I would think we'd want to hold on to some of it then, for unforeseen circumstances.
That day that you and I walked through up there, Andy, we found right at 200 dinner plates. You found 300 more dinner plates?
That was in the, there was more in the kitchen. So there's another rack of stuff in the kitchen. So we have, one of the issues we have, just for background information, is the computer lab, all these, most of this was stored in the computer lab, locked up, not used. And the other data room is the same thing, with just a room full of stuff. And then in the kitchen, there's another rack full of stuff, which interferes with their access for the kitchen. The kitchen's not a real large area. So basically, we're just wanting to get free up some room. If we wanted to keep whatever the council decided.
Who purchased them, the city or the Friends of the Community Center?
Friends purchased them.
Then it's their property, is it not?
It was, if I may, Your Honor, it was purchased as part of the community center project. So it became under the ownership of the city at that time. But I would also like to say that I do believe that the seniors may be using at least a small portion of these dishes. I'm not 100% sure, but that's something we could look into.
I could see getting rid of, that's an awful lot.
That's an awful lot.
Get rid of some of that surplus, but I think that, personally, I would like to see part of it left there. I don't know.
I agree.
I don't think we should get rid of all of it.
Oh.
I would try to find a balance of what the seniors could use possibly, and then kind of give me that. This is way too much stuff. The problem you run into,
a lot.
But the problem you run into though too is, if you keep it, then you have to maintain. So when you break a plate, you really need to get another plate.
Well,
and so
how many have we broken? Obviously, we haven't broken. We've got
because
many
they're
right
not,
now.
Because they're not being used is why they're not being broken. They haven't been used.
Yes,
This is an albatross around the city's neck. I mean, it's an inventory that really, I think, personally, is unnecessary. But
well, I think some of it is, but I don't think we should get rid of all of it.
If I may, Your Honor, just to kind of add some perspective, if we were to hang on to enough to facilitate the number of persons that the grand room would hold, that would be 200 place settings. If we were to hold them for other city events, in smaller in nature, 50 to 100 place settings would be all that would be necessary to be kept.
Well, I would think for 50. If it would be a big catering, then I would think like you do big catering. You brought your own stuff.
Uh-huh.
But for small things like little birthday parties or...
if they're going to do all paper.
I doubt that.
Yeah. That's how they're currently coming.
All paper?
They bring in paper for those things.
There's a charge that we charge,
charge
the
right.
dishes and the cleaning. There's another charge on top of that. So
We have to pay somebody. Clean it up, and if they don't, then we charge them X amount of dollars.
Yeah, we have to. We have kitchen staff comes in and does the dishes. Yeah.
But you have to charge them up front. You can't charge them in the after the fact.
Yeah. Right.
And so they're not going to wash the dishes. They're paying, or somebody's paying Bateman employees to come in and take care of the cleaning. And if they're going to do that, then they have to be on site to monitor the whole event. Am I correct in that? Okay.
So it doesn't run it at all like some of the other things in the ones that I've been to and not what you call there's small places that farmers and that come to, they have their dishes.
Grange halls.
Thank you for that. That they clean up the mess themselves. If they don't, then they're charged an additional amount. They don't do what we do at all. And that's what I was saying. If you went with a small amount, you're saying no, they all use paper.
Yeah.
Your Honor, if I may add some additional, I don't believe that Bateman currently charges us because it doesn't happen but once in a great while. So in the past, they've been used for citizen banquets, for example. There is not a plan for a citizen's banquet for this year. In the future, who knows, that could all be handled through catering as well. So it's just, they just aren't used. So to hold on to say 50 place settings, I don't think would be too much to deal with.
Personally, there's people in business that rent this stuff. They have to suffer the loss. They have to deal with the cleaning. They have to do with, you know, the pickup and delivery. I don't think plates, flatware, and glasses is what the city's business needs to be.
Well, but on the other side, on coin, like when we, I know it doesn't happen once a year, but when we have our big budget meeting, that's, all right, we use plates in that.
Coffee cups.
Okay. And we use a coffee machine.
Okay, so it's not nothing. You're right. But here's something else to look at this, is for every glass plate you put out there, somebody's going to have to wash that.
Well, that's what we got to pay for.
For the budget meeting, you're going to use paper plates, you're going to use paper cups.
That's what we currently
The economics are not there to pay someone to wash all this stuff just because we have it.
We also utilize the big coffee machine from City Hall. But holding on to a coffee machine is not a bad idea.
I'm not saying that is, but you pay
for I'm just throwing that out. Yeah.
Okay. So, I'll let you guys make a motion as to what you want to do.
Well, first of all, I agree that we need to keep the coffee machines. In case you have one broken here, you got another one. In case we have a setup for something, then we got those two. Just a matter of time before one of those are available. So any part of the motion on that, we need to retain the coffee machine.
So what is your motion?
What about premature? No cups, just paper cups, right?
What's your motion?
My motion is that we keep the coffee machines and we keep the absolute bare essential for coffee, sugar, creamers, etc., and then discard the plates and the glassware, etc.
You mean surplus?
Surplus.
Okay. I have quite on the, and forgive me for the coffee machines. What exactly are you referring? Are you talking about the?
And the reason for that is, like, for instance, we're going to be having a planning commission workshop at 6 o'clock. There's nothing wrong with having some crap and some coffee there.
That's a little late today for me.
So,
yeah, I can drink it and go to bed.
Your Honor,
yes.
I'm a little concerned with the keeping the, if there is there sugar and Splenda and all that stuff?
That's all the normal, that's the kitchen.
Okay. That's not ours. Okay. Because we would want to get rid of that if it was just for shelf life purposes.
Yeah. So I make the motion that we keep the crafts. And
the ones with the lids?
With the lids?
No.
Of course. I mean, that's getting... Okay. The carafe and all associated needed accessories that is encompassing with the carafe.
So, you want to keep 50 coffee cups? No?
No.
Okay, that's... I'm trying to say what would come with the carafe besides the carafe. So
I'm talking about keeping the craft and all associated accessories that is absolutely pertinent to the craft, such as the lids.
Okay. So how many crafts do we have, Andy?
There's 22 coffee crafts and 10 lids. So that 10.
So 10.
No,
so we would want to
keep 10.
Keep 10.
And we'll have to check to make sure
the lids
are right.
What's that?
Right. We'll have to, these could be cracked.
If they're in optimal condition.
A complete craft and lid.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so I have a motion that we're going to surplus, if I understand this correctly, we're going to surplus everything save 10 coffee carafes with lids. Is that what I'm understanding your motion?
That's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah. So that's the motion. We have a second.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor of resolution
982.
All in favor of resolution that we were just talking about, 21982, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
So we have a motion. We have a vote of 3 ayes and 1 nay, the nay being Councilor White.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Motion 21983, please. Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council and members of the audience. Resolution number 21-983. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council approving change orders to Renco's contract for the construction of the administration building, the wastewater treatment plant, in an amount not to exceed $14,291.72.
Mr. Sherlock.
Yes, good evening. So the administration building addition started in May of 2020 and is almost complete. However, there are 5 change orders that need approved. Change order number 1, when the existing drain for the building was dug up, there was a need of replacement in order to be attached to. This change order only includes the plumber's portion of the replacement, as Renco did not charge for the excavation portion of it. Change order number 2, the walls of the building are concrete and get poured and cured before getting lifted into place. The plans did not include engineered tip points for the walls. This change order reflects the time and materials needed to install those pick points. Change order number 3, this change order includes 3 items. Item number 1, there was an existing hose bib on the exterior of the building that needed removed. Instead of removing it completely, it got moved to the bedroom portion of the addition. Item number 2, the office only had 2 outlets and no data ports, so 2 additional outlets were added along with 2 additional data ports for computers. Item number 3, when Roseburg Roofing came out to install the roof, they highly recommended running the rubber roofing material to the top of each wall and capping it with sheet metal to prevent from leaking. along with Rosenberg Roofing, there was a existing exterior door that was removed. Excuse me, this is sheet metal part, portion. There was also an exterior door that was removed. Once removed, the contractor needed a way to tie in the new wall to the existing wall, and a sheet metal cap was constructed to make this happen. Change order number 4, the downspouts coming off the building did not show to be tied into the existing drain for the building. The footing was dug out and drain line added and tied into the existing drain. Last change order, number 5, the original plan was to tie the existing exterior concrete into the new concrete floor for the addition, but this did not meet ADA. IE Engineering was consulted, and an emergency egress pad needed to be poured to meet ADA requirements. So the 5 change orders, change order number 1 totals $706.75. Change order number 2 is $5,700. Change order number 3 is $4,808.20. Change order number 4, $862.50. Change order number 5 is $2,114.21. The total cost of the 5 change orders is $14,291.72. The cost that the city of Winston would incur is $7,145.86, leaving Green Sanitary responsible for the remainder, $7,145.86.
Question. Who engineers the walls with no pick points?
IE Engineering.
So why are they not responsible for their own engineering flaw?
Their response was it was the contractor's discretion on how they pick the walls.
If they're not on the plans.
They're the ones that engineered the plans.
Yeah.
See,
we're going through the same thing we went last time.
This is exactly right. They're mis-engineering of their own drawings.
This is not directed at you.
No,
I hope
no.
You understand that.
Totally not. Totally not.
But there was frustration that Green Sanitary reported.
Okay.
So,
as there,
you just get to be the bearer, right?
It's just the way it is. At the time, IE Engineering was contracted to do this. The city didn't have an engineer. Our engineer record for the plant is Corello Engineer. They're out of Washington. Don't normally handle projects of this size, they're usually much larger. So they just recommended it was not cost prohibitive to use them. IE Engineering is who Green Sanitary used at the time, and so that's who we used.
In addition, Your Honor, IE Engineering did not have the capability to conduct the bid opening portion of the project, which was conducted by Civil West Engineering in order to get the project bid.
What do you mean they didn't have the capabilities? They couldn't have someone come down and sit and watch it? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, preparing the plan specification. They prepared the plan, but somebody had to prepare all the specifications, all the legal documents of the contract. They did not have that, evidently. This, my understanding, didn't have the capabilities to do it. So we actually ended up using Civil West to prepare the bid documents and perform the bidding portion of the project.
So then Civil West again.
No. The plans were completely done by IE Engineering. All Civil West did was come in, prepare the specification book and the legal contractual information that goes within the project specification document, includes all the contracts, all the legal requirements, bid bond, performance bond, all that type of information in order to bid the project.
The rest of this all makes sense. I mean, you can run into issues, but I just have a problem with the engineering.
I'm with
their
you.
Own system.
We
I mean, stuff happens. I get that.
Yeah, I get that completely.
But not
we certainly agree.
Well, not picking up the wall.
Right.
I figure it would have been $500 to engineer it into the wall versus $5,700 to do it after the fact.
This is just the material. This was the cost of the materials for the pick points because they're a special order item.
Right.
And then to install them.
At what point in the pouring process was this pick point absence discovered? Or was it discovered prior to the boring?
Those have to be installed before the wall.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
That's right.
Yeah. So then they knew.
The contractor knew.
Yeah.
Correct. Contractor figured it out.
Or got on site and then
right.
Realized.
Right. Yeah.
So it was already here.
Do you want to expand on that story at all? In regards to the engineering of the pick points?
The
fact that they were designed into the door and window originally and then had to be redesigned into the proper location?
That is true. So, the first set of
pick points. Let's put this in a hole.
Yeah.
Andy's so bad he's not standing up here.
It's my turn, right? So, the first set of pick points that came back, there's five different wall sections. One of the wall sections has a door that they decided to put a pick point in the middle of.
Who?
IE Engineering. And so, another pick point had to be engineered at that point around that door.
What's that pick point?
Which was
a hard point in the wall.
A hard point in the wall where they can well just stand up the wall.
Pull it up.
Yes.
The walls were 14,000 and some change pounds for the wall, so. And the concrete rebar.
So they're poured on the slab. They're then erected with essentially what looks like a triangular stand that's connected to the wall, to the pick points that are in the wall, so that it holds it without it falling to pieces.
Right.
So,
Mark, I feel like this goes back to the last meeting to where it's going to cost more to hash this out, but I don't think that we're responsible for this.
This is the same discussion that we've held. IE Engineering has not taken responsibility for it. We will have to sue them in order to collect on this issue.
How about not paying for it?
This is due to the contractor. This is the material that went into the wall. This isn't the design and redesign portion of it. This is simply the material, the attachment that goes in the wall.
Wrong person suffer.
So it's already been, these walls have already been erected and installed now. Just the payment of the material.
Any more questions for Mr. Sherlock?
I guess another thing to add is they were low bid, and there was some $40,000 difference between them and the next bid. And we're only, I say the word only, but 14 is some change in change order. So we're still well under.
They probably have pick points in their drawings.
No.
Well, this was just for the bid.
Saying that in their bid, they probably.
Well, thank you for trying to make me feel better.
You know,
also,
Sherlock,
in the
John Glenn, when he's sitting to be blasted off in space, they asked him what was the last thing that went through your mind when the rocket was being launched, and he said it was built by the lowest bidder.
Yeah. Also, in another item related to this project, so that we get full disclosure on the project, is that the design plans did not indicate a flooring material to go on the concrete slab for the office. So we have chosen not to go the change order route on that, but rather to just purchase the same material that we used in City Hall and place it after the contractor is gone from the site.
Got it. So we'll be back to the
Any more questions for Mr. Sherlock or Mr. Bauer on this question? Resolution 21983, I'm looking for a motion to approve. Let everybody speak at once.
It seems like we keep doing the same thing again. What does the attorney say about it? Anything? Are we destined to forever go through this, that they make a mistake and we have to pay for it?
Majority of the other change orders are completely acceptable, but that one just doesn't make sense to me.
So let's take it backwards a step. If they would have been designed into the plan, and then it would have been part of the bid. It's the material cost, so we would be paying that cost regardless. What we wouldn't be paying is any overhead that's attached to them buying that material. So, well, we would have been paying that in any contract. So in all engineering projects that are substantial in nature, you're going to have change orders. It's part of the process. And there are things that are overlooked from time to time. There are things found that you couldn't have foreseen, depending upon, especially in underground projects. So there's all kinds of reasons that these things happen. It's unfortunate that this was not allowed to be part of the original bid process, but it's still, the point is, we would have been paying for them if they would have been designed into the project. So,
and before the fact, and then there's after the fact. Price, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I understand.
And two, how they.
That's notwithstanding. The point is, why do these people
keep doing that?
Where do we keep finding these inept engineers?
Well, in this case, this is the engineer that, Winston or Green Sanitary had employed. They were their engineer of record. That's why they chose to use them, and we agreed. We had worked with them at one point, i.e., that is, and then we did not renew their contract. So these are, you know, these are things that. That you learn about organizations over time. I did not know that. I would not have anticipated that a professional civil engineering organization would not have the ability to put a contract document together for bidding purposes. But in this case, they didn't. So, yeah.
How else can you stand it up?
So, you know, those are the types of things that, you know, that come along, but. Our experience is we don't use them again.
Well,
just move on.
INE just said just a little bit ago that we did not use them before, that we disregarded them or something.
We had used them. We were not satisfied with their performance on some projects, and then we did not renew their.
Then how come that was not relayed to Green Sanitary?
They had been using them successfully, so.
I didn't ask that. Then how come our concerns was not sent to Green Sanitary and tell them that we were not happy with them?
I think Mark's saying that they were happy with it regardless.
But it's a 50-50 job.
Yeah, when you're in a partnership with another public agency, you have to afford them some room to make their own decisions about things, and they were not unhappy with IE Engineering, had no reason to be. So
did we convey that we were not happy with them?
We did not at that time.
You don't think that probably would have been a good idea?
Well, I was not here at the time to know what the issues with IE Engineering were, so I couldn't do that. I could not ethically speak to that point.
If I could add to, Green Sanitary was satisfied with IE. They're no longer.
They're no longer satisfied with IE?
No.
Yeah, you said they weren't happy with this either.
Right.
So they're in the same
boat.
Not
just for this project, but another project that they
Thank you very much. Still looking for a motion to approve 21983. somebody's going to have to write this check, whether we approve it or not.
I'll make a motion that we approve it, like, with my comment I made under duress and with some very severe reservations that I fixed last time.
I'll second that with the same reservations.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving this resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Council. I know it's distasteful. We do our best to find engineers.
It's interesting how these, how these engineering firms can leave a dark brown taste in your mouth almost every time.
I agree.
I don't understand.
With a short period of time, we could have a break in there.
Jeez. Okay, upcoming, your first two shots, how about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lucky me.
Upcoming agenda item, supplemental budget. Mr. Bauer?
Yes, Your Honor. We have. These are positive supplemental budget. It's where we've taken in grant dollars that will be redistributed, or money from surplusing vehicles to be redistributed to operations.
Is there $7,000 there?
Is there $7,000 there? Yes, it comes from surplusing majority of it from police cars.
Thank you. Second school officer contract, second school resource officer contract. Do you have an issue there?
The only issue is that during the time that we hired the resource officer, and now with COVID and issues at the school administration, they have not been able to get us a contract for signatures. So they are adhering to the contract. They're paying for the officers. They're very happy with the services. They don't want to discontinue them. It's just a matter of cleaning up the paperwork.
So are you working out with Kevin then?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Appointment of a new city councilor, we're going to work on that by the first meeting in February, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Non-agenda items from council?
I just have one. I was going through the my booklet this afternoon and all this, and I noticed my ordinance book is, we have several new ordinances, it's not up to date. And we need to get those ordinances up to date and get them recirculated in the new books, especially for the new counselors.
Your Honor, if I may, we have asked the code publishing company to update those ordinances, and they should be coming shortly.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you. Go to the order. Anything else from a non-agenda item from the council? Okay, go to the order. Check copies are in your packet. Announcements, Urban Renewal Agency, the 21st at 3 o'clock, right here. And we need to have that meeting, Mr. Bauer?
Yes, we do, Your Honor. Okay. We need to pick new officers.
That's right.
For the URA. With.
Well, should we do that prior to the arrival of the new counselor?
That's your decision. As a board, however, you need to take action on some things. So I would say that you don't have time to wait.
Okay. So we'll be here, all of us, with our bells on at 3 o'clock on the 21st. And that city council meeting is February 1st at 7 p.m. Executive session, Mr. Bauer?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned at 8:14 p.m.